Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone is taking it all in, enjoying the beautiful springtime air, at least here where I am. I can't say much for the rest of the country, but it's been quite beautiful, and I am super excited, as always, that I am joined. I'm Barry Johnston, by the way, and I am joined by one of my dearest friends in my life, the professor, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you, but I will rebuff your embracing of spring and spring weather. I am an anti-spring myself, being a terrible allergy sufferer.
Oh, yeah, true.
And yes, and enjoying someone who also enjoys the cooler weathers, the cooler seasons. And I feel kind of robbed, like, it's now March, but it still should be chilly, at least today where I am. It was about 70, I think. Very warm today, unseasonably warm. But enough about the weather. What's going on in your world, dude?
Not a whole lot. Just same old, shaking and baking. I hurt my knee a couple of weeks ago. There you go. And it still hurts really bad. So I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. So that's what's okay. That's what's on my radar.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you're going to the doctor. I know. Is the same knee that you hurt in, was it eighth grade?
Ninth grade. Yeah, you're correct, sir. Yes. Good memory. Yeah, it's, but I've always dealt with a certain amount of pain, but like I twisted it, it popped. I think I tore a ligament maybe or something. I'm trying to be optimistic here, but so that's what's going on in my world, man. that's the big deal. What about you, man? How are things with you?
Ouch, that sounds painful. I'm good, man. I just as well am just in the same old, the same glorious life, exciting life that I have day to day and week to week.
Yeah, of course.
Monotony.
Relatable. That's very relatable.
What happens, when you're older, it's like, you know what? That's not bad. Monotony and,
No, not at all.
It's not that bad. I was thinking the other day about how much, when I was younger, in my my teens, obviously, but even in my 20s, and I just couldn't stay home at all.
Yeah.
Couldn't go. I would rest. I would sleep, and then I would go.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be anywhere but home. How that changes so quickly, almost. You start to become a nester, and you start to be like, I just want to go home. I don't want to go out after dark.
Yeah.
What do I need to go out for? And of course, me not being not drinking anymore. Certainly, that social aspect of going out.
Yeah.
That's not there anymore. So it's like, well, what else would you do?
At night. Yeah, well, you got plenty of things that you do. You draw, you paint, you're a creative person, so
I'm not for lack of distraction. It's just, I just found it really funny how things happen, when you realize that you'd much rather be a homebody. I'd much rather just sit here, read some comic books, watch some TV, and hang out with my cats.
Yeah, right. You know, I think that looking back on our childhood, I think you and I were both pretty content with playing by ourselves. Like, we didn't need a whole lot of stimuli, you know? Both of us. Because I'm that way, man. I'm more than happy just, like, hanging out, you know, watching something I'm really interested in, reading something, like, you know, I'm the king of rabbit holes, man. I love just getting into stuff and, like, learning about things, and I've never had a problem with keeping myself occupied. So, work is a distraction at this point, you know?
Yeah, I think that the part of the being the youngest child, the youngest sibling, and being, you know, you having two older sisters who aren't going to want to play with you, you know, and with
they might feed you shit, though. They may make you eat shit, but, you know.
Yeah, my sister always tried to get me to eat mud pies, like literal mud pies, like she had these little tins, and she would go out in the front yard and she would, you know, get the hose and make some mud, and you know, put it in the tin, and then come over to tell me it's, you know, it's
delicious,
it's chocolate.
Yeah,
it's delicious. Yeah. It's chocolate. Eat it. And I'm not that. I'm a year younger, but I'm not dumb. I see grass in it. You know.
Yeah.
I see the hole. I know what she was doing.
You know what's going on.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she could never convince me to do that. But,
that's great.
That's about it. But you know, like with my brother, he's 4 years older. You know, when we were very little, we would play together sometimes. But he immediately, once he started getting into, you know, when he was 13, I was like, what would that make me? Nine, I guess. Okay. You know, so he's a teen and I was still a kid, you know.
Yep.
So he once that kind of happened, I definitely was much more content. I mean, I was always content playing on my own, being by myself. Always, I don't know, I just get lost in imagination and with my toys and whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Doing this week to week and often off the cuff. Sometimes, you know, our kickoff chatter at the beginning of the show, our banter, it just wanders off into somewhere where neither one of us.
It's unsalvageable.
It's completely unsalvageable. But you know, hey, that's life. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll roll with it and we'll roll over and past and say hello to our guest who's joining us from Wisconsin. Your second home, I should say.
Absolutely.
I probably could.
Yeah.
Is today's guest is Barnaby Jones, and if you are a older listener, you might recognize that name from TV. Barnaby Jones was a TV detective.
Yep, Buddy Epson. Yeah,
and it was Buddy Epson who was
Barnaby Jones, right?
Yeah, but more famously,
From Beverly Hillbillies. Absolutely. Yeah,
more famously, Jed Clampett.
Yes.
But to our Barnaby Jones is quite a bit younger and quite a bit different than the intrepid detective and billionaire hillbilly on TV. This is our real life Barnaby Jones, and he is a paranormal investigator and cryptid investigator, and he's also written a book, and he's got podcasts, he's all sorts of busy things going on, but he sat down with us for a moment and shared some stories, and we had some great conversations, as we do, and we hope that you will join us and enjoy it and join us in welcoming our guest, Barnaby Jones. Barnaby, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Oh, man, where to begin? I'm Barnaby Jones. I am a cryptozoologist and a paranormal researcher. Nice. I am the founder and lead investigator for Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society based in Wisconsin.
Nice.
I am also I am also the host of Monsters on the Edge podcast and Whispers from the Dark podcast.
Excellent.
And I have a brand new book out that just came out this past year. It is all about Bigfoot in Upper Michigan.
Oh,
and it's called Bigfoot is Hyden, H-Y-D-E-N.
I love it. That's nice. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We have a correspondent who's way, way into Bigfoot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He's our special correspondent and resident Bigfoot expert. Only his expertise only in so much that he's really, really, really into Bigfoot as much as, you know,
he's not a researcher. More,
yeah. Not a researcher, but very, you know, but if he could, I'm sure he definitely would. But he's a lawyer, so he's doing law stuff, but, you know. Nothing useful.
Does he represent Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Now you're talking. That's an avenue we haven't gone down.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, where to begin? I mean, I always tell the story of how CAPS started, but I started I've always been interested in cryptids and paranormal and all that stuff. And I was really into paranormal. I was part of the Appleton Ghost Hunters for a while. And we didn't really do much. But I started out doing paranormal when I started a actual haunted house attraction in a haunted building.
Oh,
and, dude. Yeah, that was my first big weird stuff that we had. All my actors and everything had encounters throughout the nights and stuff that we were open.
Wow.
While we were out there building, we had all kinds of stuff happen to a lot of the people there. And we started recording like investigations and stuff in this building throughout the time that we were there. And this is before CAPS, before any of this ever started.
How long ago was this, Ben?
That was from, I want to say, 2012 until 2017.
Wow. Okay.
And we were in that building for 5 years.
Dang.
But I had the haunted house in 2012, but we had to move it from its original location into the haunted building.
Wow.
So it was an originally different building, but so we were in the building for 3 to 4 years, the haunted one. And the weirdest thing, I mean, I've seen like a little shadow person stick its head out from around the edge of a wall. We had the entire haunted attraction was about 150 feet long by about 40 feet wide.
Okay.
And around the entire perimeter of the building, we had a 5-foot fire egress hallway. And this building is old. It had cement floors, but they were very degraded at the time.
Yeah.
So I was working on like props and stuff from out in the hallway, and you can see down to the very front of the building, and you could watch like these little people like stick their heads out and look at you from the ends of the hallway. And you would hear footsteps of somebody walking on the cement towards you because it's very degraded, like of the cement towards you. My most, I mean, there's a whole episode on our YouTube channel, Wisconsin CAPS. It's the second episode, our first season. And I went back and I posted a lot of the footage that we got out there, and I interviewed a lot of the staff and that I had. So you can see all their personal stories and accounts on our YouTube page. But the weirdest thing that ever happened out there for me personally was during the summer when we first moved in, the building we were in had two big skylights, so it was always bright in the building. And I went out there and I was setting up all the scenic lighting of the sets. So we have these little like pin lights that light up different areas.
Yeah.
And we can't do this during the day or the evening because there's too much light coming in from the skylights.
Yeah.
And, you know, in October, it's fine because the sun goes down at like 6 o'clock.
Sure.
But so I had to go out there in the middle of the night one night to do all this scenic lighting. And there's nobody else in the building. I have security cameras running, but they're set up in a way to watch the customers coming through and not necessarily the scenes themselves.
Okay.
So it's kind of a way for me to gauge where people are in the haunt. And if somebody did something, you know, hit an actor or what have you, mm-hmm. I have a picture of the person.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's no good footage of what happened in this situation, but I know for a fact there was nobody else in the attraction, nobody else in the building, nobody else on the property. So I came in through this what was a castle scene, and there's this big styrofoam arch, and I came through the arch into the swamp that was in front of the castle. And the swamp has big styrofoam dock floats that wrap around a big pond and a waterfall. And the waterfall, the back of it is kind of a horseshoe shape around the pond, and the water comes down into the pond. In front of that is these big styrofoam dock floats with different ferns and plants stabbed into it to make it look like that.
Yeah.
And behind that then is these big 6-foot fake trees. So I'm in there, and I'm at the far end looking at the entire swamp scene towards the castle. And I see one of the branches on one of these fake trees just gently, like, bobbing. And the walls in this building are 8 feet tall. All of our scenic walls for the attraction are 8 feet tall. And it is hot as hell in here in the summer. There is no breeze, no air movement throughout this place because there's just so many walls and, you know, there's no movement. It's all pretty blocked in. So there's no reason why this one branch is just bobbing on this tree. So I looked at it, and again, there's only a couple, like, scenic lights at the time on, and then I had a visor light on my hat. And I turned the visor light on, and I'm looking at this branch, and I can't figure out why it's moving. So I started walking towards it, and I got about from me to the other side of this styrofoam block away from it. And the entire tree starts to just violently shake. Whoa. And I take a step backwards to look behind it, because there's literally a pallet behind it. So there's no way any person or anything could be back there. And when I step back, the entire tree lifts off the ground and falls across the path where I'd just been standing.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That is the weirdest paranormal experience that I've ever had.
Damn.
So we went back and checked the security cameras. Again, like I said, there's nobody around. And the only thing that you see on the security cameras, because there's no scenic lights yet in this area, is my headlamp, like, panning back and forth, looking around, like, frantically. And that's all you can see on the video because it's just too dark and facing the wrong way. So that's the one thing I wish I would have got on camera out there.
Damn.
But we tried to set up the tree again and see the next day. We came back.
Yeah.
And so
did you just leave the tree there, like?
I left the tree. I took a picture of it the next day. I got out of there.
Good,
I
mean, man. Good man.
I do this stuff every weekend now, and it's not like to say that I was afraid. It was more to the fact of, if you're going to do this, I'm not going to be able to get anything done.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't pay for me to stay out here and try and do my job when you're going to throw trees at me.
Right.
You know, obviously I'm not wanted here. This is not when I'm supposed to be here. All right, I'll leave.
Holy shit.
I get the point, you know, and it just made every hair on my arm stand up because what the heck just happened, you know?
Yeah.
We tried standing the tree back up, and the tree has a, like, cement base. So it's in this, like, pot, right? And it has this, like, cement kind of plastery base. And what happens is if you try and pull this tree over, it's like one of the Weeble Wobbles, right? So if you pull it about, like, 30 to 45 degrees over, it wobbles back to standing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very hard to tip over.
Oh, wow.
It took a lot of energy for us to yank the tree hard enough to get it to fall over the top of that dock float. So whatever this thing was, I mean, I even thought, like, a raccoon or, you know, a cat or something had gotten in there, but I would have seen that.
Yeah.
And you probably would have heard it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And we would have seen it on security camera. It would have there. I mean, like I said, there's 8-foot walls in this place. There's not, like, crawl holes through it. It would be trapped in this building with me.
Yeah.
Any kind of animal would have been seen on one of the security cameras or by me. So,
Yeah.
Was that the craziest?
That was my most insane experience.
Was that the craziest thing that happened there? As opposed, like, did other people experience things like that?
Not to that extreme. Okay. We had a pet shop and a bedroom scene, and they were back to back against this wall in a certain area of the building. And they seemed to be where the most activity was.
Okay.
We had a fire alarm go off one night when we were open because there was a guy smoking in the basement of the rest of the building. And we all cleared out and came back in, and one of the dolls in this bedroom scene was on the dresser. And when we came back in, it was standing in the middle of the floor.
Ugh.
It was standing.
It didn't just fall off the dresser. It was standing in the middle of the floor.
I got
pictures of that as well. And so that was the bedroom. That one we didn't have as much activity in, because I think that once that all kind of happened, my actors that I put in those areas were more used to it. The other side of that wall, though, was what was originally a pet shop room that we had. And so we had all these cages in there, like pet cages and stuff. And they would open. You know, like a dog crate has that little pinch handle that you got to pinch to open it.
Yeah.
We had cages that would open on their own and swing open throughout the night in there.
Oh, my God.
We had a full-length cage wall that shifted on the ground. So an 8-foot wall that was secured at the top, but the bottom kind of just sat by weight on the floor, shifted.
Wow.
We had one of my actors said that they saw a little something about the size of a little kid pull the curtain back to the outside hallway and like peek in at them. And we don't have any young kids working there or even as customers. This one night I was just about to open the haunt. And I had this girl in there, and you can see her in the episode, too. She talks all about this. But she's in the room, and every night before we open, I do a whole walk through the whole attraction, make sure everyone's in their spots, make sure everybody's got what they need and stuff to go. And I found her sitting on the floor in this pet shop room, like clutching her knees, reciting the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. Oh. And she's like, I can't be in this room. I can't be in this room. I can't be in this room. I said, okay, that's fine. I moved her to a different room. She was fine. Didn't have a problem the rest of the night.
Wow.
I moved another girl into that room that night. That girl went home sick.
Wow.
At that point,
wow.
I moved my, I have, my mom does paranormal and stuff with us. She's on our team. And then my other friend, Derek, who's still on my team now, was working at my haunt at the time. And I took Derek and I put him in that room. And let him go to town with it. And he was in that room ever since, because he, you know, investigates paranormal. He was into that kind of stuff. And ever since then, I didn't have a problem with that room. But anytime I put a woman, and to be fair, the other lady that saw the curtain open and stuff was a woman as well.
Okay.
So it seemed like anytime I put a woman in that kind of area, they would have all this activity happen. And then I put Derek in there, and it all kind of stopped. But
wow.
So that was very active. The upstairs was very active.
Damn.
What was this building before? What had this building been before you had your attraction?
Right. It used to be a tannery.
Oh.
Huh.
A leather tannery.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. That's yeah, that's okay. The tanneries are about one of the worst places you can be around, because they smell, and there's gore.
Yeah.
And you know, they use urine in the tanning process.
Yep.
So they have big vats of urine. And oh man. That's not pleasant.
I used to practice at a tannery. They turned it into band practice rooms, and it still stunk. Like, you could smell it. And it had been closed for a long time. But yeah, wow, that whole experience kind of got you into the paranormal, ghost hunting stuff, like researching. Like, is that safe to say that led to?
Well, like I said, I had already been interested in all this stuff, but that was our first major investigating and stuff, I guess I would say. Those were like the main times when I started doing this. In 2019, I had always been interested in cryptids as well and Bigfoot. And I always thought, you know, it's out in the West Coast, you know, out in Oregon and Washington, California and stuff. And I never thought that it was around here in Wisconsin or anywhere else.
Sure.
And a friend at work told me about this place in Upper Michigan. They do conventions and stuff, and he brought me this brochure for a place called the Hyden Adventure, Hyden, because Bigfoot is always Hyden. So I missed the convention the first year. I missed the convention the second year, but he has 80 acres of property up there that he allowed people to come onto and take a tour. So it was 4th of July weekend of 2019, and me and my mom went up there. We went to the zoo that's nearby, and then we were like, okay, well, we're going to go to this place. So we pulled up at about 4 o'clock, thinking that typical places close at 5, whatever, so we had about an hour. And we're going down this gravel road, and then you turn off onto this, like, two-track dirt road into this place that has this big sign that says Hide and Adventure. There's flags and stuff, and we're driving down this road, and there's a car coming straight at us. It's just a one-lane, two-track road, right?
Right.
And this huge guy, 6 foot three, 300 pounds, gets out, and he comes up to us, and he goes, we're closed. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, you know. And he goes, well, if this is the highlight of your tour, the highlight of your trip up here, we'll reopen for you. And I was like, all right, yeah, I mean, sure, if yeah, you want. And so he's like, okay, well, we got to turn around. So he backed up and turned around on this little road. There was like a side road there and stuff that he could turn around in. And they drove back up to the stop sign or whatever. And they said, okay, park wherever you want. There's like this little gravel pit there. And there's this big field with these signs that are all covered in bags and stuff. And so the guy's name is Craig Salk. And him and his wife, Barb Salk, own this property. And they reopened the entire exhibit for us.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome, man.
And they gave us this tour. And it was absolutely amazing. It changed my life. Because from that point is where my whole story with Cap starts.
Okay.
He took us around the property, showed us all this stuff, this evidence. Nothing, never said once, this was Bigfoot. But he said, this is the evidence that's been captured on the property. And it started for them in 2012 with a series of three game camera photos. Now, Craig and Barb own 80 acres of property. It is just outside of Menominee, Michigan. They're avid hunters. They shot bear, deer. They had trail cameras, shooting lanes all over their property. And they owned it since the early 90s. So in 2012, they got a series of three game camera photos, and Craig starts looking through these photos, and there's something in the middle photo that isn't right. And so he shows it to Barb. She goes, what are you looking at? And he says, well, take a look at this. And she goes, oh, my God, it's Bigfoot. And in the middle of these three photos taken 1 minute apart is this small figure that looks like a Bigfoot in the background. Wow. Of a deer. So there's deer sniffing a salt lick.
Okay.
And in the background is this creature. And so they showed it to a couple people, and they all said, oh, my gosh, that's a picture of Bigfoot. You know, you got to do something with this. And he didn't want the ridicule. He didn't want any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So eventually he goes, okay. He sits down and watches Finding Bigfoot. He, at the end of it, they have an email address. If you have any evidence, send it in. He sent it in at about 7 o'clock that night, and it was about 10 o'clock by the time he got done sending the email, because he's not very computer savvy. By 7 a.m. the next morning, Animal Planet reached out and asked when they could come.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So in 2013, the episode, the Super Hooper episode of Finding Bigfoot aired, featuring the Salk property and these three photographs. And people kept calling Craig and Barb saying, hey, we'd like to see the pictures. Can we see the property? And finally they said, you know what? If we're going to do this, let's do it.
Yeah.
So they opened up their property. They took sighting reports. They had all this stuff. And in 2019, we got to come out there and meet him. And after that, I started researching Linda Godfrey's work with The Beast of Bray Road.
Okay.
And this led me down a whole other thing, down to Burlington Woods, which is this vortex area in Wisconsin. It's just outside of Elkhorn. And there's everything there from UFOs to weird fog to fairies and shamans and wow, Bigfoot. And this is where we had our first Bigfoot encounter. I'll get back to that if you want later. But we ended up going down to Burlington. We spent a lot of time researching down there. But what I really wanted was to get back to Hyten, because they had some bad experiences letting people on their property before that did some stuff up there that they didn't like. And they said, well, we don't really let people, investigate the property or stay out here or anything. So we did our whole thing in Burlington, and I stayed in contact with Craig, and I said, this is what I'd like to do. I would like to come out and do an investigation. And they said, you guys can come out. You can spend 1 weekend, Memorial Day weekend, out here. These are the rules. You break them, you know, you're done. And by the end of the weekend, we were best friends with Craig and Barb.
Nice.
Like, they are the super nicest people. They said, you know, you guys are respectful. You do the right thing. We like what you do. You have great equipment to do this stuff. And from Memorial Day weekend of 2020, we have been working on that property ever since.
Wow.
And we have done some amazing things out there. We've captured footage. We've got audio. We've got everything on that property. And in October of 2020, Craig Sulk got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Oh. And by April of 2021, he passed away.
Oh, wow.
So... In prior to all this, he had written a book called Bigfoot is Heightened, the strange story of Bigfoot in Upper Michigan. And he released this, but just locally in that. So he was working on a second book, which was everything that happened from 2017 up until when he passed away. And well, it goes to about the end of 2020.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to do was I got permission from his wife. And I said, I think this needs to be out there. Craig's biggest thing is it's not about me. It's about the creatures. It's about the story.
Yeah.
We need to tell this. It is about this. The story needs to be told. And when Craig passed away, it took me a while to get it all edited and fixed up and everything. But I took his original book. I took his second book. And I edited the second book. I touched up what he was missing and elaborated on some stuff. And then I wrote a whole third part to this book of everything from 2021 up until this past October.
Wow.
So there's 10 years of documentation, trail cameras, experiments, everything in this book. So it's co-authored by myself and Craig. Bigfoot is Heightened. It's available on Amazon, or you can get it at wisconsincaps.com if you want an autographed copy. But it is 248 pages, full color. Wow. It is a like coffee table size book.
Wow.
With trail cameras and all kinds of stuff. And it is an amazing piece of work.
That is awesome, man. That is that's a great way to pay homage to your friend, you mm-hmm. know, and get his work out there. That sounds like a huge undertaking also.
Yeah.
It was.
How long did it take you to put that together?
Well, he passed in 2021, and I've kind of been picking at it until it was last year when we finally approached his wife, Barb, and said, this is what I want to do. Can I do it? And gotcha. She said, yes. And so then it was from this past summer, it was about 6 months of working on it a couple hours a day, because I was working 12 hours at the time, too.
Yeah.
So working on this, editing it, and getting all of his stuff, putting all the documentation, pictures, and all that in there. Wow. And it goes one more step beyond that, because after he passed, Barb didn't want to do the tours and stuff out there anymore, because that was Craig.
Right.
Like, she was into Bigfoot and everything, but she wasn't the one that was doing the tours and everything.
Yeah.
And for us, my team, to do that every single weekend and carry that on was just too much as far as that. So what we're doing is starting in June this year at the Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention, we are debuting the Heightened Adventure exhibit.
Nice.
And it is a traveling exhibit that we are going to go around the U.S. to different conventions and
wow.
libraries and stuff.
That's
and
awesome.
It has
That's
huge... 6 foot banners, stand up banners
okay.
that have all the original exhibits from his tour, and they all have QR codes. You can scan them
wow.
and hear Craig himself talk about each exhibit that he did on the tour.
Oh, that's cool.
There is a 2 foot by 4 foot two scale diorama of the property, so you can see the entire property, everything that happened on it, where it happened, and so forth.
Nice.
We have a footprint cast that was taken on the property, and we have a little box with headphones that you can actually listen to some audio that was recorded
wow.
on the property as well.
Wow.
So it's an amazing thing that we
That do. Is cool, man. Have you thought about coming to Oklahoma to the is it the Hanobi Bigfoot Festival? Is that the actual title of it, Adam? Do you know? I think that's what it is. It's a big one. It's a big one that they have
Nobia
here.
Nobia Bigfoot Festival, yeah. I think it's that.
Yeah. But it's
down in southern Oklahoma.
Yeah, we
southeast.
yeah, Southeast Oklahoma. We went down there a few, four or five years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. We didn't know what to expect. You know, we're just like, we've heard a lot of things about it, and it was great. They did a great job. They have a panel of guest speakers, and they come up and they, you know, they tell their stories, you know, books that they've written, and footage and all that kind of stuff. It was a really, really good time. Met a lot of great people, man. Just totally willing to talk about their crazy Bigfoot stories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been on the road all over the U.S. for the last couple of years since 2020. I mean, ever since then. And this is the first year that we're taking the exhibit on the road, though. It'll debut at the Marinette Menominee, which is the convention that he started.
That's cool, man. So
it'll be there in June 1st.
I'm sure.
And then after that, then we started other ways.
I'm sure you'll get lots of good feedback on that. You know, that's
it sounds awesome.
And you're like the perfect guy to do it. I mean, because you know, you did the whole, you know, scare, haunted, which takes talent, man, to produce something like that, man. You know, I have a friend that he used to do that every year. They would open up a spot and just, you know, do what, like a 2 month run or 1 month run at it. And his whole year was based around getting that together. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. He did an awesome job putting it together. So yeah, you're like the perfect dude to take that idea and display it for people to see. 'Cause like putting the, you know, the stuff that you've, you know, the artifacts and things that you've gathered plus, you know, audio plus, you know, visual, you're looking at the property. That's cool, man. That is really cool. Great
Thank
idea.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great idea. So. How many cities are you going to hit, do you think?
I have an agent that's booking it for me as well. And so if there's anybody out there that's interested in having us come out there, you can go on our website and click on the Hyten exhibit on the website, wisconsincaps.com, and there's contact information to get it booked. I know we're going to be... I'm not sure. I know we're going east with it for a little while.
Okay.
Think we're going to be, I, at the time of recording this interview, I can't tell you where I'm going to be yet because it hasn't paid, but I think we're coming to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We're going to be in Pennsylvania and we're going to be out on the East Coast. I can't remember the city. It's Virginia or North Carolina or, somewhere down there.
Okay.
Okay.
That one, I honestly just can't remember where we're going to, but we're going to be out there. And then I'm pretty sure we're going to be in Pennsylvania this year.
Cool. Cool. Whenever you get those dates, if you want to shoot a little commercial, you know, 1 minute ad, we'll stick it in the podcast, man. So people can know.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome.
You know, happy to do that. That'd be great, man. I think that people are going to love these stories because the Bigfoot stories are more sporadic than the UFO stuff or ghost stuff, and it's territory that we always like to dip our toe in. You know, we love hearing those stories, man.
Yeah. So tell us about your first encounter or encounters, then, because you teased this. And
we got to hear something.
I give it to tease every time.
Right. So. Right. Right.
Awesome. So the first time that we ever did, this is how CAPS came to be. So after I had visited with Craig, and he said, hey, if you're not reading Linda Godfrey's books, you need to. She is the one that did all the stuff with the Beast of Bray Road. So she wrote all the books on that. She researched it and stuff, which is this dogman werewolf creature down in southern Wisconsin. And that's all well and good. I mean, there's dogman sightings all over Wisconsin, not just Elkhorn and that, but there was this. But there was one chapter of her book that really got me interesting, which was this Vortex Woods, the Burlington Woods. And that led me to Mary Sutherland, who literally wrote the Burlington Vortex book. And it's this small woods down in Burlington, Wisconsin, that has literally every kind of phenomenon you could think of. It's what John Keel referred to as a window area.
Okay.
And my whole premise of this is, okay, why is this area have everything? what is this? You know, it's like Skinwalker Ranch. You know, what mm-hmm. is going on in this little spot of land? So that drew me down there, and I thought, this is where I want to begin, because I'm not going to go chasing werewolves down a street or, you know, looking for Bigfoot in the middle of random woods. I'm going to go somewhere that has everything.
Right.
So I called up Derek, who I had said is, you know, from my haunted house and everything. And I said, hey, I know you're not really into cryptids, but you want to go look for Bigfoot with me. And he has no life. So he's like, of course I do, you know. So we went down there, and we had some trouble on the way down there. And we ended up getting there right at dusk. So it was dark when we pulled into this little gravel parking lot outside the woods. And I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go into an unfamiliar woods at night when I don't know where I'm going. It's I'm scared. I don't know where I am. Right.
So we
pulled into the parking lot, and we thought, well, we'll just do a little stakeout here and see what happens. Cause you can see there's a big, like, wetlands to our right, kind of, that wraps around. And then there's a hill on our left. And then there's this tree line and a power line cut that looks out over this marsh. So we're sitting in the parking lot, just kind of watching and listening. And we hear something coming through the woods towards us up on this, like, hill to the left. Could be a deer, could be almost anything, right? And it's getting closer. And I have this huge, like, mag flashlight that plugs into your cigarette lighter. And I pulled it out, I plugged it in, and I started at the road, and I started shining it along this hill. And I got to this one spot, and the branch of the tree pops up, like something had been holding it down and looking out from behind it. And I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, because you hear this movement, you know, there's something over there. And now this massive thing is holding down this tree. And I didn't see like a bird or anything fly or, you know, anything like that. And I thought, okay, well, that was really weird. So we ended up leaving that night. And I said, we need to go back down and check this place out. So I told this to a couple of my friends and that. And we got a group together, about five of us, and this is the original CAPS team, was myself, my mom, Derek, Michael, and his wife at the time. And we went down there, and we went up on this ridge where this branch was down, and we investigated, and this wasn't just a branch. This was the entire top of a tree.
Wow.
That had been bowed over.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't a big tree. It was like maybe 12-foot tree. But yeah, it was the whole top of the tree had been bent down. And right where that was is a 9-inch long bear footprint, like a bear humanoid footprint.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And this footprint is a series of footprints that goes back through the woods and ends up at the edge of a farmer's, like, field. So I'm not saying, I mean, it's definitely within the realm of a human-sized footprint.
Yeah.
But why somebody's walking around up on top of this hill in the mud and the stones and everything with bare feet when there's literally a trail to the edge of the parking lot over here.
Right.
And it's not like there was more than one person, like a group of people went up there. There was no boot prints, nothing else. It was just this one set of tracks up there. So that was very interesting.
How big do you reckon that foot was? The length?
About 9 inches.
Okay.
9 inches long. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was about 3 inches wide. So it was well within the scope of a human size footprint.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like castable or anything. It was mud, and it was just on the top of the surface of like mud. So you could see it through the woods.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And this is our very first episode, by the way, on our YouTube channel. You go check it out. We're in season 6 right now.
Oh, okay.
So we've been doing this for 6 years.
Nice.
But this was our very first episode. We had one GoPro camera that filmed all this. And the only reason it was filmed, we never set out to do this as a, you know, as a YouTube series or anything. It was, we're going to film this in case something happens.
Yeah.
And then stuff started happening. And we're like, what do we do now? Like, who do you tell? What do you do with this? And we thought, well, let's make it into like a little documentary. And then we started doing more, and it's just kind of snowballed from there.
Wow. You know,
we're at six seasons of different things that we've done, from everything from UFOs, paranormal, ghosts, haunted coal mines, Gettysburg, you name it, we've done. And then we have a spinoff series, too. We have an entire series called Spirits of Menominee, which is all about the haunted downtown Menominee, Michigan.
Okay.
We have a whole series that's called Finding Hayden, which is all about the Hayden Adventure property. We have another series that's coming out. We have a show on Paraflix that's all cryptids all nice. Over the U.S. They're little half-hour episodes, so we got all kinds of stuff.
It's damn,
all
on dude. Our website. You're a busy guy. You're a busy guy.
I am a very busy guy.
Are you married?
No.
Okay, well, that's probably good. That's cool, man. That is awesome. We haven't had anybody on here that covers that kind of scope. So it's very cool. Very cool to have you. And, where do you stand on UFOs?
Oh man, I have been following the whole, the stuff going on with the government right now.
Yeah.
With the National Defense Act and that. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
My opinion, I guess, I think there's a lot going on that it's not going to be something that you can pin down to one. I right. think some right. of the stuff that we're experiencing is possibly more interdimensional than right. extraterrestrial, I think universal, whatever.
Yeah.
I think there is bolts and metal spacecraft of some sort. Yep. I think there's
yeah.
that.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot going on. And when people try and lump it all into, do you think there's life on other planet? Well, yeah. But there's also, you know, life in an right. alternate universe and life
yeah, yeah, yeah.
beyond the veil
yeah.
and stuff that's coming from out of our visual spectrum into our visual spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot of different things there. Yeah. So.
Have you seen this recent, I don't know how what the latest is on it, but what they call like the jellyfish UFO?
Yes.
Have you seen that kind
yeah.
of thing?
That's weird, it's, man.
It is very weird. It reminds me of the probe in Empire Strikes Back, you know, that kind yeah, of thing. But yeah. that also was kind of a jellyfish kind of looking
right,
thing.
Right.
But yeah, I haven't been following it. I don't know what the latest updates on it are, but that was a very bizarre.
Wasn't
thing.
It over a base that they had the footage?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kept going. They couldn't pick it up on certain radars, right?
It went into the water, they said.
Okay, wow.
It's really weird because I've seen the footage. They never released the footage of it going in the water, at uh-huh. least not mm-hmm. that I've seen.
Yeah.
But the footage that I've seen almost looks like if you had bird poop on a camera lens.
That's true.
And
yeah, yeah, it that, does.
It doesn't move.
Yeah,
you know, right. like the yeah, yeah, yeah. thing itself
just like, yeah, just hovers.
Doesn't
just
move.
Like cruises. Yeah, it's
it
very
doesn't
strange.
Doesn't spin, doesn't yeah. wiggle, doesn't. To yeah. anything, it follows along with the camera itself as if it was on the lens of the camera.
Yeah,
and I did not see anything in the footage that I watched that led me to believe that it wasn't just like bird poop on the lens.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it could be, man. It could be anything. That's one thing you know about the Tic Tac videos that are so interesting is the. Mm-hmm. When those cameras lock in on that one, it's like it's skimming across the water and it is hauling ass, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sobering to say the least. It's so wild, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you line up pretty much kind of where Adam and I are on that whole thing. Like in the beginning, of course, your mind is open to a lot of different things, but the more I hear, you know, different people give their ideas about these things, like I think the interdimensional thing starts to make more sense, you know? I it's just so we're living in such a crazy time because it's obviously apparent to everyone that this is a real thing, but yet nobody really cares. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The public yeah. just kind of
that's
like,
really the scary thing about it. You know, like
yeah.
in 2020, the Pentagon actually released the paper saying they had crashed debris from off-world vehicles.
Right.
And then nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
cared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, it's wow. amazing. It's this is not how I planned it to go in my head as a kid. You know what I mean? I thought people would be losing their shit, yeah. You know?
Apparently there's a new thing where the CIA has said that remote viewing worked. And, you know, because mm-hmm. we know that they tried it, but they're like, oh, yeah, it worked. And, you know, again, that's just something that the CIA just saying that and nobody says anything about it. Because, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, well, let's, you know.
All right. And, yeah.
The thing about remote viewing, though, is the government said it's legitimate. There's people that can do it in that. But the problem is it's not reliable enough for actionable intelligence that they write it off. So that's why the government just doesn't care about it anymore, because they've said, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it works. But we can't, you know, we can't go arrest somebody based on knowing where they are because of this. So it's just.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, it starts to get blurry. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah, it's interesting. So, but it also leans, that gives a lot of legitimacy to, you know, to people who are psychic or claim to be psychic, mm-hmm. Who, you know, with their helping out and solving crimes, or at least, you know, acting. I mean, because, you know, there's obviously, you know, people who are charlatans, we know, because, you know, they do cold readings and stuff with the earpieces and mass, you know, make lots of money from it. But, you know, we also know that the government also will put out disinformation just as much as they'll put out information.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you know, completely know where we stand. But it just, again, when it goes by unnoticed, that seems to mean to me that, oh, okay, then this is real, because they completely downplayed it.
Yeah.
And it's not making the news, because this is kind of, again, a little bit reality shaking information, you know, once they reveal, you know, like, you know, if they're, oh, they're these beings that are not from our planet, our Earth, our dimension, you know, that's going to shake reality for everybody who haven't come to the conclusion that that's a probability already. But, you know, it's just wild, because we keep taking these steps closer to it and people just keep ignoring it. And it's just like, they still look at you crazy when you say, oh, I saw a UFO. I saw something unusual. I saw Bigfoot. Right. I saw this. I saw that, or whatever. Or I heard this. I had this experience.
Well, I think it's most people are caught in the day to day. They're worried about how they're going to put food on the table. And that's just the bottom line. Like, until they see aliens on the, you know, White House lawn having, you know, lunch with the president, you know, it's not going to change. But at least. It's interesting, because one of the guys that was involved in he's been involved in a couple of documentaries about UFOs, but he was on a podcast. I was listening to it last year. He said, we're going to find out more information, and that information is discomforting, because we think as humans that we are at the top of the food chain, and the reality is that we're really kind of somewhere in the middle, and that's earth shattering, you know, because.
Yeah.
Who knows what that means? That's a lot to delve into on that, and I hope we learn more. But at least the footage is out there, and we can have these discussions, and people not at least think we're nuts. So maybe they do think we're nuts. But
can you imagine the uproar that's going to happen whenever aliens do start coming to Earth?
Yeah,
and all the people are going to be going off about. Build a wall around the planet and get these illegal aliens off of our world. That's not going to happen, man. That's not going to happen.
They're already here. Well. They're already here. It's already happened. But, man, awesome. So, can one more time, just how can people get in touch with you? You know, put out any info that you'd like for people to get in touch with you, and plug the books again and the movies and series.
Very cool. Absolutely. We are Wisconsin, spelled out Wisconsin, C-A-P-S, Caps. So WisconsinCaps.com. And it's also Wisconsin Caps at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube, or WI Caps on Instagram. There you can find links to all of our stuff. We have YouTube series, a ton of documentaries out on there, as well as several podcasts. I am the host of Monsters on the Edge on the Untold Radio Network every Monday from noon to one. And you can watch that. Links are on our website and YouTube page, or at Untold Radio Network. And we also have Whispers from the Dark and Red Road Paranormal. And I'm so sorry. What is the other one? It was live right now.
You forgot one.
I forgot Stephanie's podcast. Soul Flight with Stephanie Lynn is all of like metaphysical and stuff. So nice. we got stuff for everybody out there.
Nice.
And then the book is Bigfoot is Hyden, H-Y-D-E-N, and you can get that on Amazon.com and a lot of other book retailers, as well as if you'd like an autograph copy, you can order it from WisconsinCaps.com.
Awesome,
man. Do you have merch? Do you have t-shirts? Do you have baseball caps?
We do not have baseball. I have baseball cap. we had baseball caps. But we have a lot of merchandise, sweatshirts and t-shirts, stickers, tote bags, all kinds of stuff. It's done through T Public. Otherwise, we do have other merchandise that we sell if you find us in person at different events. And you can find that under the public events tab. It's a full list of all the places we're going to be. We're going to be at the Hodag Heritage Festival in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. We are going to be at the Marinette Menominee Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention June 1st. They're all on our website, wisconsincaps.com. Then click on public events, and you can see everywhere that myself and a lot of my team is going to be. So
sweet.
I'll be in Minnesota as well.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well,
wait, you know, with a name like Barnaby Jones, you were born and destined to be an investigator of some sort.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. You know, so
that's great.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, man.
This has been fantastic.
It's been great.
Have you back on again to share some more stories and report and on your investigations and of course when you hit the road. This has been great. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's what's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story.myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Barnaby, thank you for coming on and sharing your experiences. I mean, a wealth of stories, and he's such a cool guy. We had such a great time with him, and I wish Hub was here so he could talk about the Bigfoot stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to get Barnaby back and do a Bigfoot focused episode. But yeah, that was really cool. And we appreciate you, Barnaby, for sharing those stories. Creepy, creepy stories from the haunted attraction. Man, I don't know if, well, you know, I say I don't know if I go into one of those places. But
yeah.
Again,
I've done it once.
I'm so, you know, notoriously ghost blind, it probably wouldn't be an issue. I probably, if anything, my own imagination would get carried away, as we spoke earlier.
Yeah.
Is before we spoke to Barnaby about how vivid my imagination is. But just the weird things that would happen there on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And just being able to just going back there time after time, you know, and then, you know, getting the crap scared out of you one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once would be enough for me.
For probably. Sure. Agreed. Agreed.
And then I would find another means of, you know, of
employment. I love hearing those stories, though. I love it when, you know, people are active, you know, in the haunted house world and stuff like that. You know, folks that do that, they're usually a lot of fun. At least the folks that I have run into that do that sort of thing. It's always, but man, it creeps me out. I'm a grown ass man, and I don't like going into those things. I'd rather stay out, and I'm not a big fan of the jump scares and stuff like that. But I love the stories. I love the stories.
Yeah, and of course we love the stories, the Bigfoot stories.
Oh yeah, huge.
I mean,
so dude, cool, man.
Just, you know, again, we want more Bigfoot.
Yeah,
more cryptids. Not necessarily Bigfoot. Could be, you know, the world famous Chupacabra goat sucker. It could be the rake. It could be a flying reptile kind yep. of thing. You know, a dinosaur maybe, whatever. Yep. We love those kinds of stories. We love hearing that. My yep. mom, in fact, texted me last night. She was watching a Bigfoot TV show, which is
nice.
You know, uncommon for my mom. But I think she's kind of investigating the weirdness, or I guess she's opened to, you know, at least for 45 minutes with commercials to watch you know, a Animal Planet or Discovery.
That's awesome.
Show. But she texted me while she was doing it. She asked, she's like, do you believe in, you know, in Bigfoot? What are your thoughts? I'm like, well, and I explained, you know, that like what our general consensus that we've come to through our various discussions and, you know, just talking to people. But I said to her, I believe that, you know, there could be a large animal yet undiscovered by you know, civilization, man,
yeah,
that could be out there still, because absolutely. We know we're discovering all kinds of plants and animals yep. every year, every day.
And there was once an upright walking large ape type being that lived once, and so
it's not
that unheard of, you know.
Yeah, and also, I mean, that it seems like they would be probably just an offshoot of the same evolutionary path that humans came, that contemporary humans came from, because we know that, like, it wasn't just A to B to C, you know, it wasn't just like gorilla, missing link, and then people. We know that there's all kinds of different subgroups that. Some died off, some intermingled and intermated.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, that's why you can still find people today with Neanderthal DNA.
Yes.
But, you know, so I said, you know, I was like, it's possible, because up until, I believe it was like 1846, I want to say, gorillas were considered cryptids.
Wow. I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's at so least cool.
Outside of Africa, you know, in Europe.
Sure.
Cryptids, you know, these mountain creatures, these mountain man-like beasts, and that's whenever a European explorer or scientist or whatever found some bones.
Wow.
And then, of course, then they, you know, discovered the actual creatures.
Could you imagine coming up on the first gorilla?
It did.
Huh? I mean, they are an imposing figure and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, but think, you know, if you walk, it's kind of like, imagine you walking into a clearing and then you just see them there, and it's a bunch of, you know, mama gorillas and their babies, and then that would be perfectly all right, you know, you'd be like in awe, but then it's, you know, you get a silverback pop up and start charging you, that would be when, you know, time to change the pants.
Absolutely, man. Because you realize real quick where you're at on that genetic chain. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
You don't stand a chance, man.
When you see a silverback charging and its arms are, you know, jacked and longer than its legs, you know you're going to get tore apart.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bigfoot could be real, and that we don't know. I believe that it's definitely possible, and that's why we talk. We enjoy talking to Barnaby and people who have had experiences with Bigfoot. Because we want to know more, and we want to hear more about that stuff, because those are really awesome experiences that we would love to have.
Absolutely.
So if anybody out there has had Bigfoot experiences, get a hold of us. We want to hear those stories for sure. Absolutely, for sure. Or other cryptid types.
Absolutely.
But, you know, hey, we also want to hear true crime stories and like, you know, I survived stories, or I should have died stories, or stupid kid teenage pranks and shenanigans stories. You know, we do anything from when you're a little kid that, you know, you should have either gotten, you know, in trouble or got away with, or got in really bad trouble. You know, we would love to hear those stories. Those are always fun. But we're always open for good stories. You know, it doesn't have to be your quote unquote weird, you know, because again, weird is subjective, and we let it cover a lot of ground. We just love hearing good stories. We love talking with people and making new friends like Barnaby here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get in touch with us. You know, share all those stories. UFOs are always on the list of what we love to talk about, so I'll throw that out there. But yeah, it's continue listening. Thank you so much for your time. You know, we've been, I think that this year has started off like maybe the best. We just got so much coming at you guys too that is just great conversation. So we look forward to the next episode.
Yes. Oh, such great variety and great stories. And we hope you tune in and listen to them, and let us know what you think. Contact us through our social media, our email, all that good stuff, through our website. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us. We love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate listening through all of this babble.
But, you know, yeah, thank you.
Look, by law, there's a certain amount of babble that hosts of a podcast must make before, you know, signing off and moving on to the next episode. So we appreciate you, Weirdsville, and we hope to see you real soon, because we'll be back, and we hope you return as well. And in the meantime, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.